Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, romance. Later on, the story Love Crazy on the Screen Director's Playhouse. But first, an adaptation of the 1939 Oscar-nominated motion picture Ninotchka on the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. This episode first heard on April 21st, 1940 on CBS.
Rosalind Russell, Spencer Tracy. The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Theater, the one place where you meet all your favorite stars. Tonight, the Gulf Theater presents Rosalind Russell and Spencer Tracy with Oscar Bradley and his Gulf Orchestra. And now your host, the director of the Gulf Theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight's the last show of the season from the Gulf Theater, and we've decided to let Rosalind Russell and Spencer Tracy choose their own play. What was the decision, Roz?
Ernest Lubitsch's production of Ninotchka. We both think it's one of the most beautiful pictures ever to come out of Hollywood.
What part are you playing, Spence?
Well, I just wanted to show Melvin Douglas, who played this part so beautifully, how really badly it could have been done.
And you, Roz?
Well, I can't tell exactly, Roger. But any similarity between the character I play tonight and Greta Garbo is purely coincidental.
Yes, yes. And ladies and gentlemen, if you hear a vast silence coming out of your radio, stick around. It's just Russell and Tracy trying to underplay each other.
By the way, Ernest Lubitsch is sick in bed with a cold.
When he hears this, it'll get him out of bed. But quick, come on, curtain line.
Paris in the spring of several years ago, when a siren was a woman and not an air raid alarm. Comrades Bulyanov and Kapolsky, members of the Russian Board of Trade, just arrived from Moscow to sell the confiscated jewels of the former Duchess Swana, are meeting with an obstacle in the person of Count Leon Dalgu.
I'm sorry to interfere with your plans, comrades, but these jewels are the property of the Duchess Swana.
They were stolen legally, monsieur.
I am acting for the Duchess. Here is an injunction that says you cannot sell them.
What will you settle for? Russia is invincible.
But make us a proposition.
I'll settle for half of what you get for the jewels.
Impossible.
Not a chance.
Talk to a lawyer.
All right, you talk to a lawyer and the Duchess and I will talk to the judge.
He's cutting our throats.
Capitalistic sabotage.
Let me remind you, gentlemen, that the Duchess Swana is a beautiful woman. And on the witness stand...
You can't scare us.
Boys, boys, have you ever seen a French court when a beautiful woman lifts her skirt a little? You sit down and pull up your pants and where will it get you?
I suppose you expect us to give you the jewel.
So that Razinin, our commissar at the Board of Trade, can send us to Siberia, eh?
Oh, now don't worry, boys. I'll send him a telegram explaining everything. Why Razinin can't send you to Siberia?
That's what they keep telling us down at Moscow.
Yes, yes, but people keep right on going to Siberia.
Cheer up, comrades. I'll wire Razinin. And while we wait for an answer, I'll show you how to really enjoy Paris.
Comrade Yakushova.
Yes, Commissar Rosnin.
I have here a report on Bulyanov and Kopalsky from Secret Agency 2W4. There has been a boring from within by a Count Leon Dalgu. You, as envoy extraordinary and unbanding pillar of the Soviet state, will take the train to Paris at once.
Very well, Commissar.
Not so loud. This is strictly confidential.
Excuse me. I am looking for two comrades, Bulyanov and Kapolsky.
I am Bulyanov.
I am Kapolsky.
And I am Nina Ivanova Yakushova, envoy extraordinary from Moscow.
Comrade Ninotchka.
Oh, we did not expect a lady envoy.
Kapolsky, get flowers.
Please do not make an issue of my womanhood. We are here for work. You have engaged a bed for me?
Why, yes, Comrade Ninotchka.
At the Hotel Claret.
Carry your bags, madame.
Why?
He is a porter. He wants to carry them.
Why? Why should you carry all the people's bags?
Well, that's my business, madame.
That's no business. That's a social injustice.
That depends on the tip.
Lead the way, please.
Yes, comrade. How are things in Moscow?
Excellent.
That's nice.
The last mass trials were a great success. There are going to be fewer, but better Russians.
your apartment, comrade Ninotchka.
Which part of the room is mine?
Oh, in Paris, they don't rent rooms in pieces.
You have the whole suite.
How much does it cost?
2,000 francs a day.
2,000 francs will buy a cow. In 1 week, I will cost the Russian people 7 cows. Who am I to cost the Russian people 7 cows?
But we had to take the suite, comrade Ninotchka.
It has a safe for the jewels.
And what has our lawyer done about the jewels?
We have no lawyer.
We have dealt directly with Count Leon Dalgu, representative of the Duchess Swan.
Lawyers here are very expensive.
We just say hello to a Paris lawyer and, well, there goes another cow.
Send for this Count Leon Dalgu. I will talk with him.
Yes, comrade.
In the meantime, I wish to inspect the public utilities of the city.
Oh, we'll be glad to show you Paris, comrade.
Yes, Count Dalgu has taken us everywhere.
So we have heard in Russia. It will be a pleasant memory during your long nights in Siberia. Goodbye now. I go for a walk. You, if you please.
Speaking to me?
How long does one have to wait on this traffic island to cross the street?
Till the policeman whistles again.
How many minutes between whistles?
I never gave that a thought.
You never took the trouble to find out?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome. May I help you hold that map?
Please. I am looking for the Eiffel Tower.
Is that thing lost again? Listen, if you're interested in a view...
Only from a technical standpoint.
Oh, well, then I'm afraid I can't help you. Parisians only go to the top of the tower in moments of despair to jump off.
How long does it take a man to land?
Well, the last time I jumped, I forgot to time it. Let me see now, the Eiffel Tower. Here it is, right here on the map.
And where are we?
Right here, together. Isn't that nice?
Must you flirt?
No, I don't have to, but I find it natural. I'll try.
As a matter of information, is your approach typical of the local morale?
Mademoiselle, it is the kind of approach which has made Paris what it is.
I have always heard of the arrogant male in capitalistic society. In Russia, it is different.
Oh, you're a Russian.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I love Russians, comrade. I've been fascinated by your 5-year plan for the past 15 years.
Your type will soon be extinct, fortunately. Goodbye. I'm going to study the tower.
Oh, fine. Wait a minute. I'll come along with you. The staircase has 829 steps, plus 254 steps to the very top. And that's where we are now, just in case you didn't count.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, I'm glad to see it once more before becoming extinct. Look at all those lights down there.
Pretty, yes. What a waste of electricity.
All Paris at your feet. The boulevards, the River Seine. Here, step over to the telescope. You see, I put a franc in the slot, then turn the lens until there. Take a look.
I see nothing but a house.
But it's my house. 3 rooms and a kitchenette. You'd like it.
Do you mean you want me to go there?
Please don't misunderstand me.
Then you don't want me to go there.
I didn't say that.
Then why don't we go?
Huh?
You might be an interesting subject of study.
Well, I'll do my best, comrade. This is my castle, Ninotchka. Can I get you something to eat or a drink?
No, thank you. I've had all the calories necessary for today. What do we do now, comrade?
Well, we sit down. We look at each other. We smile.
Why?
We don't smile.
Tell me, what do you do for mankind?
For mankind, not a thing. For womankind, the record is not so bleak.
Your general appearance is not distasteful.
Thank you.
Whites of your eyes are clear. Your cornea is excellent.
Your cornea is terrific. Can it be I'm falling in love with you?
Love, a romantic designation for the most ordinary chemical process.
Ninotchka.
But chemically, we are quite sympathetic.
Ninotchka, Ninotchka.
You're a pitch yourself.
I'd like to say it 1,000 times, but you confuse me, Ninotchka. After all, I'm only a poor bourgeois.
I once belonged to the petty bourgeoisie myself. My parents wanted me to work on their farm, but I preferred the bayonet.
You don't say.
I was a sergeant in the 3rd Cavalry Brigade. Would you like to see where I was wounded?
If it's not too much trouble.
Here on my shoulder.
Oh.
A Cossack lancer when I was 16.
Poor Ninotchka.
Oh, don't pity me. Pity the lancer. After all, I'm alive.
Just what kind of a girl are you anyway?
Just a tiny cog in a great wheel of evolution.
You're the most adorable cog I've ever seen. Ninotchka, never did I dream I could feel like this toward a sergeant.
Feel like home.
Ninotchka, why do doves bill and coo? Why do snails circle interminably around each other? Why do flowers open their petals? Oh, Ninotchka, surely you feel some slight symptom of the divine passion. A warmth, the burning of the lips that is 1,000 times more tantalizing, more exalting than thirst.
You are very talkative.
I'm going to kiss you. There. Is that talkative?
No. That was restful. Again, please.
Oh, darling. My barbaric Ninotchka. My impossible, unromantic, statistical, glorious, analytical.
Your telephone is ringing.
Oh, all right. Hello? Yes? Yes, Bulyanov.
Bulyanov.
Yes. No, I can't come right now. I'm entertaining a friend. Yes, from the army. Yeah, what's the name of the envoy extraordinary? Oh, it's a girl. Well, what's her name? Jack, what was that? Spell it.
Y-A-K-U-S-H-O-V-A.
Thank you. Oh. Never mind, Bulyanov. Goodbye. Ninotchka.
Envoy extraordinary Yokoshova. You represent the Duchess, then?
Yes, but...
I must go now.
Yeah, well, why not just forget the telephone ever rang?
I was sent here by the Commissar to fight you. So from now on, if you wish to approach me...
I do.
Then do it through my lawyer.
Ninotchka, you can't walk out like this. Remember, you like the white of my eyes.
I must go, I tell
you. But Ninotchka, I held you in my arms. You kissed me.
Ah, yes. But I kissed the Cossack Lancer, too, before he died.
Ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting for Act 2 of Ninotchka, we'd like to extend an invitation to all of you. All right, Johnny?
Well, folks, it's an invitation from your neighborhood Good Golf dealer. Your Good Golf dealer wants to help you with your spring cleaning. Now, naturally, he can't come around to your home and get busy with a broom or a vacuum cleaner, but he can give your car just about the grandest going over that it's ever had. So drive in tomorrow where you see the Golf Orange Disc. Get a crankcase full of summer-grade Golf Pride motor oil, have your transmission and differential lubricant changed, and get rid of winter squeaks by having your car completely Gulf Flexed with summer lubricants, too. This month and every month, it pays to make the Good Gulf dealer your dealer.
The second act of Ninotchka, starring Spencer Tracy and Rosalind Russell. A week has passed since Leon discovered that Ninotchka is the envoy extraordinary, and Ninotchka learned that Leon is representing the Duchess Swana. In desperation, he's followed her to a small restaurant.
Do you mind if I join you, Sergeant Yakushova?
You have no right to follow me.
How about this little table here by the window?
I have nothing to say to you.
No, but I've got a lot to say to you.
Please, you wish to order now?
A plate of raw carrots and beets.
Sergeant, this is a restaurant, not a meadow. Waiter, bring us some crayfish soup, omelet with mushrooms, dessert, and coffee.
Oui, monsieur.
Your tactics are very bad, Comte Delgou.
Oh, Ninotchka. Now, look. Can't you just pretend that there are no jewels, no Duchess Swana, no lawsuit? You take things too seriously. Come on, please, relax. I beg. Sergeant, smile.
At what?
At me, at yourself, at that funny little bird sitting on the windowsill begging for crumbs.
He is funny, isn't he? He puffs out his chest exactly like Commissar Rasputin.
That's better. You like Paris, Ninotchka?
It is nice. Back home, there is still snow and ice, and here, flowers and birds. I've always felt a little hurt that our swallows deserted us in the winter for capitalist countries. Now I know why. You have the high ideals, but then you have decline.
Would you like to see more of Paris, the real Paris?
Yes, I believe I should.
All right, we'll do the town. All the gay, romantic, beautiful places you've read about. Where would you like to go first?
The waterworks.
What?
And the power and light plant.
But Ninotchka.
And the Paris sewers.
All right. Now, if I take you to the waterworks, the light plant, and the Paris sewers, will you let me pick out the other points of interest?
Why not?
Good. Come on, Comrade Ninotchka. You're going to learn a lot about Paris and about life.
And so, these pumps deliver 10,000 gallons of water 1 minute.
Oh, it's marvelous.
Therefore, these electric generators deliver 5,000 volts.
Oh, wonderful.
Our boat is now drifting down the romantic main.
Oh, sol mio.
What time is it, Leon?
Why, it's only midnight. But what do you think of my part of Paris?
I like it. But I should not have let you talk me into buying this place. I don't look foolish.
Foolish? Why, if I met that dress walking down the boulevard all by itself, I'd say, just a moment, you charming little dress. I want you to meet Ninotchka. You two were meant for each other.
And the hat. Is it not silly?
Oh, it's a beautiful hat. Everybody in the restaurant is looking at you.
There is one woman, a very beautiful one, coming toward our table and looking very angry.
Leon.
Hello, Swana.
Well, Leon, darling, this is a surprise. And who's your little friend?
Oh, pardon me. Your Highness, Comrade Yakushova, the Duchess Swana.
Oh, really? The envoy from Russia who's here to sell the jewels they stole from me. And what a lovely gown. Is that what they're wearing in Moscow this year?
No, madame. Last year.
Really? Well, do see that Mademoiselle Yakushova enjoys Paris, Leon, so she can return to Moscow empty-handed, but with pleasant memories. Good night, darling.
Good night, Swana.
Now I think I need a champagne.
Yes, so do I. Well, here's to us.
Oh, this is good. Let's have more champagne. Let's have lots of champagne.
In other words, let's have champagne.
Comrades, good people of France.
Take it easy. Wake up the whole hotel.
I want to make a speech. I want to overthrow the Duchess Swan.
Overthrow her tomorrow. Here's the door of your suite now. Lean on me till I get it open.
Oh, I love you, my little Leonichka.
And I adore you, my little Leonichka.
Whoa. Steady now. In we go.
Leon.
Yes, darling.
I want to confess.
I know, the Russian soul. Go ahead.
Well, when I kissed you, I betrayed Russia and the party.
Well, how about forming a party of our own?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Leon.
Right. Lovers of the world, unite.
Our salute will be a kiss.
Comrade, I salute you.
Oh, we ought to have music for that.
All right, where's the radio?
Oh, the radio, over there in the wall.
Where?
Open that little door.
Oh, yes.
Turn the knob twice to the right and stop at 7.
7.
Then twice to the left and stop at 17.
17. There we are. There's no music in this thing, only some jewels.
Oh, those awful jewels again. The tears of Russia.
Who cried this big one? Peter the Great? Ah, look, here's a crown. I'll put it on you.
No, please. Oh, no.
See, I make you Ninotchka the Great, the Grand Duchess of the Masses.
Thank you, Masses. I love the world. The revolution is on the march. Wars will wash over us. Bombs will fall. All civilization will crumble. But not yet, please. Wait. There's no hurry. Let us be happy. Give us our moment. We are happy. Aren't we, Leo?
Yes, sweetheart. We always will be.
So happy. And so tired.
I'm going home now. Good night, Ninotchka. Dream of me, of us, and I'll wake you in the morning.
Good morning. Oh, sorry to disappoint you, Mademoiselle Yakushova. We met last evening, remember?
Oh, yes, the Duchess Swana. Come in.
I suppose you've discovered your jewels disappeared sometime during the night?
Yes, did you come to tell me that you had stolen? Oh,
stole is such an ugly word. Let us say, I recovered them.
I shall notify the police.
Do? But won't it be rather embarrassing to explain to Moscow how you lost them?
Perhaps. But won't it be embarrassing to you to have to explain to a judge just how you stole?
I'll fight you through every court in France. That will take at least 2 years.
You haven't enough money to fight 2 years in court.
I may run out of money, but your people have already run out of bread. You wanted to sell these jewels to feed them. 2 years is a long time for your comrades to go hungry.
Yes. Many will starve.
Not if you accept my proposition.
What is it?
I'll give you the jewels if you take the 5:40 plane this afternoon to Moscow and promise not to see or talk to Leon.
You'll never win him that way. Not Leon.
Well, what do you say?
I have no choice when my people are hungry, Duchess Swana. I will take the jewels and the 5:40 plane for Moscow.
Months, Count Dalgu, I've told you it is impossible.
But you've got to give me a visa. I've got to get to Moscow.
No.
But I'm sympathetic to your cause. I like the Soviet ideal. Everybody the same. You just like me. Me just like you. I use your comb. You use my toothbrush. Give me a visa.
For the last time, no visa.
What's the matter with me?
You are a friend of the Duchess Swana.
No. I haven't seen her in over a month. Now, look.
No.
All right. I'll boycott your whole country. No more caviar. No more borscht. No more vodka. No more Tchaikovsky. Wait a minute. I know something even better than that.
Oh, you do? What?
This. Yes. And you can tell the Kremlin that's just the beginning.
Comrade Ninochka Yakushova.
Yes, Commissar.
You have done such good work in Moscow the last 3 months. I am sending you on an important mission.
To Paris?
No, to Constantinople.
Oh.
That Paris trip changed you, comrade. I noticed you did not even seem to enjoy my May Day speech to the workers.
What is my mission in Constantinople?
Listen to this anonymous message. How can the Bolshevik cause gain the respect of the Turks when your two representatives, Bulyanov and Kopalski, get so drunk that they throw a carpet out of their hotel window and complain to the management that it did not fly? You will take the first plane to Constantinople and investigate.
Very well, Commissar.
Not so loud. This is a secret mission.
Welcome to Constantinople, Ninotchka.
See? We engage the royal suite for you.
Bulyanov, Kapalski.
Please, comrade, don't start figuring out the cost in cows.
Commissar Razinin is very angry with you.
Good old Razi-Bazi.
Comrade, please. I must see your expense account at once.
Don't ask for it. There is an old Turkish proverb. If something smells bad, why put your nose in it?
Someone has been boring from within. You went to Paris and were led astray. Now you come to Constantinople and the same thing happens. Who is back of this?
Somebody looking for me?
Leon, I might have known.
Oh, I've never seen you looking so happy, Ninotchka.
I know, Leon, and I shouldn't. It's all wrong. Something terrible's happened to me since I met you. Look, I'm even wearing lipstick.
What a gesture for a sergeant. Bulyanov, Kapalski.
Yes, little father.
Go search the city for me. And if you find me, which you won't, come back here and report.
We'll catch on, little father.
Come, Bulyanov.
Come in, Kapalski.
Leon. Leon, darling.
I'm never going to let you go again.
But I have to return to Moscow.
If you do, I'll continue boring from within. I'll make every Russian envoy into a Bulyanov and Kopalski.
that is a terrible threat.
I'll destroy the whole country, man by man. Once you saved Russia by going back, this time you can save Russia by staying here.
Darling, it shall never be said that Ninotchka was a bad Russian. I will stay here with you.
Thank you, Rosalind Russell and Spencer Tracy. Thanks to you, too, Melchior Lengel, for permission to use your story. And to you, Oscar Bradley, for the swell music. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's broadcast here from the stage of the Gulf Theater is the last one of our present Hollywood series. And as a representative of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, I'd like to thank all the stars and authors who have contributed their talents during the past season. Beginning next week at the same time, Gulf brings you The Adventures of Ellery Queen.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 21st, 1940 on CBS. The movie the story was based on was nominated for 4 Oscars, including Best Actress in a Leading Role for Greta Garbo, Best Writing for Original Story and Best Writing for the Screenplay, and also the Best Picture for MGM. But MGM did not walk away from that award ceremony empty-handed. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's director George Cukor was originally supposed to film Ninotchka, but left the picture to work on Gone with the Wind, which picked up the Best Picture Oscar for that year. You're listening to An Hour of Romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the Screen Director's Playhouse with the comedy romance Love Crazy, an NBC episode from August 19th, 1949.
Waiter.
Yes, sir?
I'll have some sliced tongue, a lettuce and tomato salad with Roquefort dressing, and a bottle of cold Pabst Blue Ribbon. From Hollywood, Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents Screen Director's Playhouse. Production, Love Crazy. Director, Jack Conway. Star, William Powell. The Hollywood Screen Directors present A Little Love, A Little Laughter. The motion picture comedy, Love Crazy, starring William Powell. The pressure of picture-making has prevented the director of Love Crazy, Mr. Jack Conway, from introducing his own film story tonight. However, our star, William Powell, won't escape the watchful eye of a screen director. As a matter of fact, our guest director has been watching him ever since 1929, when he directed Bill Powell in one of his first talking pictures, The Canary Murder Case. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the team of director and star is united again as we introduce Mr. Malcolm St. Clair.
Thank you. You know, it would make a pretty good story had I told Bill Powell 20 years ago that he'd never be an actor. But I didn't. I thought he was swell. So all I can say about his success is I knew it all the time. Now I'm going to join the rest of you in enjoying one of Bill's most amusing roles, the part of Steve Ireland in Love Crazy. Here it is.
Once upon a time, a man named Steve Ireland lived with his wife, Susan, in the Winston Towers Apartments. They lived in apartment 12A, and they were very, very happy. After 4 years of marriage, they still talked like this.
Darling, I love you.
And I love you.
And I love you.
Life at apartment 12A was excruciatingly sweet. And then one day, into apartment 11A moved Isabel, Steve's old girlfriend. 12A, 11A. Wow!
Why, it's Steve Ireland!
Isabel Grayson. Well, come on in and share my elevator. You're going down?
Yes.
Oh, Steve, I haven't seen you since you broke my heart and married the other woman. You're looking scrumptious.
Really? I wasn't even trying.
What are you doing here?
I live here.
Then we're neighbors. I just moved in. Where's your apartment?
12A.
I'm right below you, 11A.
Oh, brother.
Remember that if you ever want to borrow a cup of sugar.
Oh, yes. Got your package.
Oh, thanks, Stevie boy. It's just some stockings I'm taking out to exchange. Want to come with Mama?
Oh, Mama better keep her meat hooks off Stevie boy. You know, I'm still married, kiddo. 4 years. Today's the anniversary.
Happy?
Deliriously. I'm going out to buy Susan a gift for the great occasion. Ooh.
Ah, elevator trouble.
Well, I never did this before. Hey, looks like we're jammed.
What do we do now, lower the lifeboats?
Hey, look, there's a hatch right there at the top of this thing. We're only a couple of feet below the floor. If we climb up, all we have to do is open the outside doors and crawl out.
Through the top?
Yeah, here. I'll open the hatch. Now, if you can stand on my shoulders.
Well, here, put my package in your pocket.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you a boost.
Oh, well, I better take my shoes off. I don't want to stab you to death.
Oh, yeah, give them here. I never did look good in footprints. Now, oopsie daisy.
No, take it easy now.
Can you get those doors open?
I think so. Give me a push. I'm all right. Want a hand, Steve?
Would you offer a hand to Climo, the human fly? Here I come.
Baby boy, the human fly just ripped his pants.
Well, I'm a fine mess. Covered with grease, pants all torn. Great way to launch an anniversary evening.
Well, just tell your wife you were bitten by a mad dog.
Say, stop snarling. All my other clothes are in the cleaners. What'll I do?
Well, you might start by going back to your apartment.
Very well, I will. Goodbye, Isabel.
Oh, Steve.
What?
Don't look now, but you're... Slip is showing.
Tattletale.
Ah, Mr. Ireland.
Hiya, Professor Klugel. I'm in a rush, Yeah,
but, Mr. Ireland, what happened to you?
I was bitten by a mad elevator.
What did you do to make it mad?
Excuse me, Professor. That dopey professor always snooping around.
Stephen, you're back, or... Stephen, darling, what's happened?
The elevator jammed.
Oh, good heavens, you're a mess. Why, you haven't looked like this since you used to date Isabel Grayson.
Well, as a matter of fact, I met Isabel in the elevator.
Stephen.
Uh-huh. She's living here in the building.
You look like you renewed acquaintances in a mixmaster.
Well, you see, the elevator jammed.
It never jammed before.
Well, it did this time, and there we were. Yes?
Oh, Mr. Ireland.
Who is it?
Oh, it's the bellboy, dear.
Mr. Ireland, Miss Isabel Grayson asked me to ask you if she could have her shoes back.
Shoes?
Her shoes?
Oh, yes, sure. Right here in my pocket. There you are. Well, Susan, as I was saying, there we were in this jammed elevator.
Mm-hmm, and you both took off your shoes and played toesies.
No, darling, you don't understand. Her shoes were in my pocket.
Oh, they were? Where were her feet?
On my head.
On our anniversary?
No, on my head. You see...
Pardon me, Mr. Ireland.
Oh, you still here?
Yeah, Miss Grayson says she also wants her stockings back.
Stockings? Oh, sure, right in my pocket.
Go on, dear. The elevator was jammed, and there you were.
And, Mr. Ireland, Miss Grayson also says...
Oh, no.
But, Mrs. Ireland...
If you say what I think you're going to say, so help me, I'll murder him.
Miss Grayson also says thanks.
You know, for a minute, you even had me scared.
Well, thanks, Mr. Ireland. Bye.
Now, if you'll hand me my coat, Mr. Ireland, I'll thank you and say goodbye, too.
Oh, Susan, you don't understand.
I don't want to be unfair about this, Stephen. I'm going out for a walk and think it over.
But that's silly.
And do something about those pants.
Oh, for... Susan! Isabel, she got me into this mess. She don't get me out of it.
Here I am, lover boy, down here.
How's the little woman?
Miserable, thanks to you. Isabel, I've got to get out to buy a gift for Susan, and all I've got to wear are these torn pants.
Oh, I see a needle and thread coming into my life.
Here, I'll throw them down to you. And hurry.
Look, chum, when I sew you up for another woman, I'll take my own sweet time. Hello?
Isabel, this is Steve.
How's the pantsless wonder?
Dying by inches. You've had them more than an hour.
If you don't stop rushing me, I'm going to sew sandpaper into the seat.
But Susan will be back soon, and I haven't even bought her an anniversary present.
You talk about Susan while I sit here slaving so you can go around showing off, wearing pants.
Isabel! Isabel! Oh, bellboy. Gotta get a bellboy. Bellboy! Where's the bellboy?
Mr. Ireland.
Hiya, Professor Klugel. Is there a bellboy in the house?
Mr. Ireland, you forgot your pants.
I did not. These, my dear Professor, are invisible pants.
Invisible pants? On you, they look good.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you, Mr. Ireland.
Oh, bellboy.
You calling me Mr. Ireland?
Yeah, look. You've got to help me. I'm desperate.
Oh, sure, Mr. Ireland.
Look, you've got to buy a present for my wife. An anniversary gift. I don't care what it is. Just use your own taste. But get one and get it fast. Oh, and if my wife's here, for goodness sake, don't let her know that you bought it. Just cover it up some way when you give it to me.
Right, Mr. Ireland. Whew.
Hello?
This is Bertha, the sewing machine girl. Your pants are ready, gorgeous. I'll bring them right up. Bye.
No.
Steve, darling, I'm back.
Oh, brother.
Oh, Steve, I've been so silly. Please forgive me, darling.
Oh, why, Susan? Forgive you for what?
For doubting your word. Tonight of all times, our anniversary night.
Oh, and is it going to be a Lulu?
Steve, here are your...
Sorry, but we don't want any.
Who was it, dear?
Oh, the Fuller Brush Man.
Oh.
Yeah, I just gave him a taste of his own medicine. Quick brush.
Oh, I'll get it, dear.
Hi. Here are your husband's pants.
Oh. What?
Susan. Now, Susan.
Oh, Stephen.
Susan.
Oh.
Isabel.
Oh.
Tell her what happened.
Don't be silly. It's your anniversary. Nighty-night.
Susie, darling, look, I swear I haven't set foot out of the apartment since you left.
Oh, please don't lie to me, Stephen.
Honest, darling, I've never lied to you.
Say, Mr. Ireland, it's me, Joe the bellboy.
You didn't leave the apartment?
Not for a second.
Mr. Ireland, this parcel.
Go away, get lost.
But you just left it in the elevator.
Oh!
Oh, please, Susan, don't cry. Look, Susan, it's for you. It's your anniversary present.
I don't want it.
No, here. I'll open it. What did you buy, Joe?
I never did have much taste, Mr. Ireland.
Well, this is a fine time to tell me.
It's a cushion. A nice purple satin cushion with a motto on it.
Oh, good Lord. Look, dear. Isn't it lovely?
Oh, it's hideous.
See, there's writing on it.
Yeah, go ahead, Susan. Read it.
Bless our happy home.
Bless our happy, happy home. Susan, will you stop packing that suitcase for a minute and listen to me?
I will not. I'm leaving you, Stephen, for good.
Believe me, Susan.
I wanted to believe you with all my heart. But ever since Isabel Grayson came back into your life, you've told nothing but lies. That ridiculous story about the elevator getting stuck.
But,
and
Susan...
your word that you hadn't left the apartment. And her coming up here with your...
Susie...
Your...
I have not told you one single lie.
You see? There you go again.
I love you, baby.
There's no such thing as a marriage based on deceit, Stephen. I'm getting a divorce.
Oh, Susan, please. I'll raise your allowance.
Ha. Pat. Well, Stephen, have you any brilliant last words?
I refuse to talk until I see my lawyer. And that's it, George. Just because of that silly misunderstanding, Susan's going to divorce me.
Well, Steve, do you want me to advise you as your friend or as your lawyer?
What's the difference?
Oh, about $1,000.
Let's try the friendly approach.
All right, Steve. Move into an apartment house without elevators.
That's fine. What do I get if I pay money?
Good advice.
I'll pay.
Next time, be more careful.
Yeah, but there wasn't anything to be careful about, George. I love Susan. You've got to stop this divorce.
Well, if she wants to file suit, Steve, there's nothing we can do about it.
That's what's driving me crazy.
Well, that would do it.
What?
If you were crazy, Susan couldn't divorce you for 5 years.
No.
Of course, that's ridiculous.
Well, yes, ridiculous.
Imagine me crazy. That's very amusing.
George.
Huh?
Supposing I was just to pretend to be crazy.
Well, in that case, it would take a postponement of at least 30 days to find out whether you really were crazy.
Ah, and that'd give me time enough to convince Susan that she's making a mistake. I'll do it.
Do what?
Pretend I'm crazy. It can't be so hard. Any idiot can do it.
Well, I tell you, you have to have witnesses, you know.
I'll get them. Starting with Professor Klugel.
Well, who's he?
He's an old crackpot who lives across the hall there. He thinks I'm half nuts anyway.
Ah, Mr. Ireland.
Where's your parachute?
Parachute?
Aha! There you are, Alexander.
Alexander? Mr. Ireland, I don't see nobody.
There he is. Standing right in front of you. Alexander, you insulted me once. Now take it back.
No, no, don't move. Or I'll shoot.
But, Mr. Ireland, I gotta go now.
All right, Alexander. Take it back. Ah, so you won't take it back. Then take this. Bang.
Mr. Ireland.
He's dead. Well, Professor, what do you think of that?
You know, I think he was crazy not to take it back. Good night, Mr. Ireland.
Professor Klugel. Where are you going?
Oh, that's right. You came to see me.
Good night, Professor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ireland.
Here we go gathering nuts in bay, nuts in bay, nuts in bay.
Mr. Ireland.
I'm a squirrel and you're a girl, and all the world's a great big world. Here we go gathering nuts in bay, nuts in bay.
And so, Mrs. Ireland, in view of the evidence submitted by Mr. Ireland's counsel, this court feels that your husband's mental state is doubtful. I wish to investigate the case for a period of 30 days.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Susan.
Why, you fraud. You're not crazy. You're crazy.
I have only one statement to make.
Yes? All right. If you want to be crazy, you can be good and crazy.
Now, see here, Mrs. Ireland.
Your Honor, isn't there such a thing as a lunacy commission to decide cases of this sort?
Yes. You can ask for a ruling by the commission. It has the power to declare a person legally insane.
Now, wait a minute. George. Oh,
lunacy, schmoonacy. What do you care, Steve? You've got your 30 days and you haven't got anything to fear from the commission.
I haven't.
Of course not. You're sane, aren't you?
Right. Bring on the lunacy commission.
My name is Dr. Pelgrim, Mr. Ireland. The head of the Lunacy Commission will be here in just a minute now. In the meantime, would you mind answering a few questions?
Well, you understand this is just a formality. I'm perfectly normal.
Of course. Now, do you...
No, I don't have bad dreams. I don't hear voices. I don't think I'm being followed. Anything else?
Well, yes. I'd like... Oh, well, here's the chairman of the commission now.
Well, how do you do, Doctor?
Mr. Ireland. Yeah, I've been expecting you. Tell me, how is poor Alexander getting along?
Now,
Now, Professor, that was just a little joke.
Wearing any invisible pants lately?
Professor, I know what you're thinking.
Are you familiar with this case, Professor?
Ach, yeah. In the immortal words of Dr. Sigmund Freud, he is nutty as a fruitcake. Please ask his wife to step in.
Yes, this is Professor. Ridiculous. There's a perfectly logical explanation for my behavior if you'd only listen to me.
Yes, Professor Kluger?
Mrs. Ireland, I'm afraid we have bad news for you. We must declare your husband legally insane.
Will you listen to me?
And you, Mr. Ireland, will be put in your wife's custody for a period of 5 years.
My custody?
There is nothing... Oh, my wife's custody? Well, that's different. Who's loony now, dear?
That will be a much nicer arrangement than sending him to some kind of mental institution.
Oh, you mean I can have him locked up?
Whenever you wish.
Susan, no. You wouldn't.
You might fool him, Steve Ireland, but you're not fooling me. Doctor, get the straitjacket.
Oh, no. No, you don't.
No, please, Mr. Ireland, you must resign yourself.
You can resign yourself to a punch and a kisser. See you later, Professor.
You know something, Mrs. Ireland? He hit me.
You know something, Professor? You're screwier than he is. Steve, what in the world is...
Isabel, I want a word with you.
You look frantic.
Frantic? They think I'm a raving maniac.
They do? Why?
Because I had an argument with my wife.
Well, that's a reasonable explanation.
And it's all your fault. Because of you, my wife left me, and I've been declared legally wacky.
Well, that's life, kid. The bitter with the sweet, the good with the bad.
Listen, my fine, blown, corncob philosopher. We're going to find Susan, you and I, and you're going to tell her everything that's happened, the whole story. Maybe she'll believe you.
Oh, sure. We're palsies, your wife and I.
Come on, stop arguing.
You know, Steve, I kind of hate to leave this elevator. It has so many touching memories.
Isabel, stop babbling. Come on, we've got to find Susan.
Well, we don't have far to look. Here she comes now.
Hello, Stephen. I see you haven't wasted much time.
Oh, Susan, you've come home.
Oh, just to pick up the rest of my things. You needn't worry about your sudden attack of insanity any longer. I explained the whole thing to the professor and our divorce is going through.
Susan, Isabel and I have some explaining to do, haven't we, Isabel?
You said a mouthful, Buster.
If you kindly leave the elevator, I'd like to go up.
I'm not leaving until you hear our side of the story.
Oh, very well.
Listen, Mrs. Ireland, I admit that things look a bit sketchy, but Steve's been a model husband.
There, see?
It all happened because the elevator jammed.
I've been riding this elevator for 4 years, and it's never jammed yet.
Listen, lady, nobody's trying to steal your spouse. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have him on a bet.
You see, dear, she wouldn't have me on a... Oh, you wouldn't, huh?
Well, as far as that goes, I'll have you know that Steve has some very fine qualities. Well,
certainly I have.
Oh, shut up.
Well, you can have him, Mr. Jerk.
He isn't either a jerk.
Certainly not.
Will you keep your big yap shut?
The whole thing was perfectly innocent. The elevator jammed.
That's impossible. These elevators never jam. They never jam.
I suppose we're just stopping for a hamburger.
This is the last laugh I've always dreamed about.
Stephen, I was wrong.
Is this proof in us?
Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself.
Darling, I love you. Please come home, huh?
I should have known. And Isabel, I owe you an apology.
Honest Isabel, that's me. Steve, hurry up and kiss her. We're stopped because my shoe's wedged in the elevator door.
Good, keep it there.
What'd you say, Dick?
I said, honesty's always the best policy. Stand by to be kissed.
Oh, darling.
You see there? The elevator's all right again, just like us.
Well, it might be all right with you, but my shoe just fell down the elevator shaft.
Her shoe? Stephen, how did that...
Shh! Don't ask questions, dear. Just trust your husband. Oh, brother.
I've just heard the last act of Love Crazy. In a moment, our star William Powell and screen director Malcolm St. Clair will return to the microphone. Now here again is tonight's star, William Powell, and screen director Malcolm St. Clair.
Well, so much for Love Crazy, Mal. Now we've got some talking to do. You know, I think it's been about 20 years since we made the Canary murder case together.
Hmm? Yeah, that was just about our first venture into talking pictures. And, brother, I was scared stiff.
Ah, afraid of those microphones?
Sure, it was okay for you with all your stage experience. But I've never worked with anything but cameras.
But the way you used those cameras made motion picture history, Mal. I know that even back in 1929, having Malcolm St. Clair in the director's chair was one of the greatest privileges an actor could receive.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks very much.
Good night, Mal. Good night, everyone.
And good night to you, William Powell and Malcolm St. Clair. Love Crazy was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Great Sinner, starring Gregory Peck, Ava Gardner, and Melvin Douglas. William Powell also appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, who soon will release Madame Bovary, starring Jennifer Jones, James Mason, and Van Heflin. Included in tonight's cast were Mary Shipp as Susan Ireland, Gloria Blondell as Isabel Grayson, and Hans Conried, Gil Stratton, Herbert Rawlinson, Bill Johnstone, and Dan Riss. Love Crazy was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse was produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn.
The Screen Director's Playhouse, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 19th of August, 1949 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levoner. Thanks for tuning in.